Welcome to the Jesus Image Podcast.
I want to talk about the little foxes, because I really feel like that is plaguing a generation right now. I know it sure has tried to plague me at times, and I preach to myself probably most of the time, and I just want us to be able to prepare our hearts so that we can really be faithful to the end. Because I say this all the time here, and I hope I never forget it, but it's not how you start. It's not even the journey, even though that matters, but what really matters is how you finish with the Lord. And if the devil can't get you through purity or willful sin or all these things that we know are so obviously sinful, he will get you through exhaustion. He will get you through wanting to quit. He will get you through discouragement. He will get you from all these little things that really seem really little in the grand scheme of things, but when they all come together, they can catapult you off your destiny. And we need to be just ready, because we have a goal in mind, and that's to be with Jesus and to live faithful to the end. Easier said than done, but with Jesus, we can do anything, right? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this time together. We love you. We worship you, Lord. Lord, we do want to be faithful to you, God. We don't want to compromise, Lord, in any area of our life, God. Not just the things that are so obvious, God, but even the little things, Lord. The things that you see, Lord, they matter the most. So, Lord, I just ask that you will just tenderize our heart right now to receive. Oh, Holy Spirit, use me as a vessel tonight. Let me be yielded. And Lord, I just thank you that we will receive your word with clearness in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. All right, go to Song of Songs 2:15. Joel, maybe you can just play just a little. That sounds kind of nice. I'm going to start reading. It says, "Catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love. For the grapevines are blossoming." I'm going to unpack that through this whole message. But those little foxes are what can cause some of the biggest distractions in our life. It's those little things, the little hidden things in our life, the little things that take us away from the main goal in our life, which is Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. He really is everything. You know, we have those hoodies that say Jesus is everything. The whole reason why we made those hoodies is because I had a friend who I love, but they told me Jesus isn't everything. I go, oh yeah? I'm gonna make a hoodie that says Jesus is everything. It's our best seller, so I guess I have him to thank for that. But he is everything. How can he not be everything in our life? He's our source. He's our all in all. He's the air that we breathe. I don't even know how anyone can survive a day without Jesus. I can't even imagine. Just lost a dear friend this afternoon who was so dear to Michael and I and this house. I don't know if his family wants me to release it yet, but many of you knew him. And I just thought how short life is. Just recently, he got the diagnosis. A few months later, he's with Jesus today. Life is so unpredictable. Life is so full of challenges, so full of ups and downs. But with Jesus, he's the only thing that is steadfast in our life. He's the only thing that remains. He's the only thing that doesn't change. Guess what? People change. We're flesh. We're not perfect. People make mistakes. Oh, you got quiet. People make mistakes. But in Jesus, he brings the best part out of us. And there's something so beautiful about resting and stillness in him. I tell this to our team and others. I say, I minister the best when I'm most at ease. It's when I feel like I have to produce. It's when I feel like I have to make something happen. It's when I get in the way that I feel I'm the worst version of myself. It's when I'm exhausted mentally, emotionally, physically. It's when I take on my own yoke instead of asking him for his yoke. That's when I get in the way. And that's when I could screw up everything because I'm leaning into my own ability and not on his. And when you lean on him and are at rest and just satisfied in him and him alone, all the junk gets out of the way. This doesn't just go for ministers. This goes for everyone. It's the way I am even with my family. I am most at rest and I'm most happy and most alive when I let the Lord take over and lead the dance. It's when I try to jump in and force things to happen that life gets so chaotic and complicated. But it doesn't have to be that way. And that's why there's this loving warning in the Bible about the little foxes. Notice it wasn't watch out for the massive snake. We would know to be cautious. We live in Florida, so please don't make this spiritual. Maybe it was, don't worry, I rebuked it anyways. But me and my daughter were getting into my car and opened my garage, and this was last week, there was a massive big snake. The biggest snake I've seen since I have lived in Florida my whole life, and I've seen a lot of snakes, but the first thing we did was jump back. Then something in me was like, I need to go chase that snake away. Like, just the weird side of me, I guess. I don't know. But the first thing is I cautioned my daughter, and we jumped back and waited until the snake went away. Well, that's the obvious thing to do, right? But when you see a little harmless fox, you don't think caution. You think, oh, it's just a little fox. It's not going to bother me. But it will when they come together with distraction. Those little things that seem harmless to us can be the things that cause the biggest pain and tragedy in our life. When we turn our attention to them and stop focusing on Jesus. We talked to a dear friend recently, and I'm not gonna give all of the story, but I'll give little bits of it. But ministry's hard, life is hard. It just is. Am I the only one? Life is hard, yeah? Okay. Everyone's like, yeah. I mean, yeah, life is hard. It's okay to admit that life can be hard sometimes. But this amazing leader that me and Michael talked to, he said, you lose when you look to the left and to the right. He goes, you're a train on fire going down a hill. A train on fire doesn't stop to see what everybody else is doing and throwing rocks at them. A train on fire keeps going. They have a mission. They keep going. They don't worry about the little things chirping on the sides. And it was so simple, but that really helped me. Because I was like, yeah, I've got one goal, to finish in love with Jesus more than when I began. And I can't make everybody like me. I can't make everybody agree. I can't make everyone sing my praises. I hope you don't. But I know what I have to do in my life, and that is to love Jesus. That's what I'm responsible for. That's what I'm gonna have to answer to one day. Did I please the Lord, and did I love my family well? These things are gonna matter. But when we get the distractions and take our focus off of the prize, that's when we lose. Easier said than done, I know. I know. I tell our team, you deal with the stuff for us. We gotta stay focused, mainly Carla. Thank you, Carla. We gotta stay focused. We're building a building. We're loving Jesus. I've gotta stay focused on being the best mom and wife I can be. That doesn't mean that if there's a season of life where God has to deal and prune and all these things that you don't listen. Now, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's always gonna be distractions, and I don't wanna bite the bait of distraction. I wanna be faithful, and you wanna be faithful. We don't wanna fail in our assignment. And what I've noticed, this is just my opinion, this isn't Bible, but what I've noticed, I mean, maybe it's somewhere in the Bible, but I don't want to say it is and it's not. So I'll just say this is my opinion. But when people get derailed, it's when they lose focus on what their assignment is. It's when they get busy trying to do so many things that they forget what it was that they were truly called to do for the Lord. Why do we get busy to do so many things? It's because we're looking around at what everybody else is doing. And we want a piece of this, a piece of that, a piece of that. And I'm not saying that God can't call you to multitask, but I'm saying stay faithful to where He has called you, to your assignment. It's the little foxes, the thieves, that need to be cleared so our life can bear fruit. I like researched this text today. What are foxes? What do they even mean? Like, you think you know, but they would come to try to steal, and they would come when the fruit, before it was able to be ripe and harvested, when it was more vulnerable. And that's what happens when these things come in our life. They actually steal the fruit that's about to come. And the devil's not stupid. I don't like to give him too much attention because he's been overcome by the blood of the Lamb. But he's not an idiot. He will try to derail you right before you are about to enter into your greatest victory. If not, then look at the life of Nehemiah. As they're building the wall, they are fighting off the enemy, the accusers, with swords with one hand and building with the other. On night watch, just to make sure that they completed what the Lord has called them to. They understood what it meant to be focused and faithful. They had a job to do. And remember when people said, come to us, we want to talk, the accusers, no, 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 we're not coming off this wall. We're building this wall no matter what. It's what the Lord told us to do. That's how you finish. This is how you do it. You stay faithful because we all need to bear fruit. Every one of us should be bearing fruit. And guess what happens when you bear fruit? What? You guys are too quiet. That's right, you got it. You get pruned. It's not like, oh, you're bearing fruit, so that's good enough, so I'm just gonna let you alone. It doesn't work that way. That's when the Lord comes in and goes, I see fruit. Cut, 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 cut. I'm gonna start trimming back. Okay, I'm gonna see your faith now. I'm gonna test you. And sometimes the things we think are tests from the devil are really tests from God. Or sometimes He allows them. Because we have to become more steadfast in what He's called us to. When we were with the sisters, and again, evangelical sisters for all you Facebook warriors on there. I feel like we get comments all the time. I'm like, they're evangelical sisters, okay, that have devoted their life to loving Jesus. Like, we could all, I wish to be like one of them one day. But we went to go visit them in Arizona when we were there for the Jesus tour. And I remember they were just talking to us about the Lord and the man of sorrows and just the life of the cross. And one of the sweet sisters, She spoke up and she said, you know, my dad used to study everyone who ever did great things for Jesus. And she was, he would read about them, and he said there was one common denominator. They all went through severe persecution. And you wonder why that is. Well, because the Lord wants to make us ready and faithful so we can bear the fruit that we need to in our life. So sometimes we think, oh, this is just the devil, but sometimes it's a holy invitation to be more like Jesus. Sometimes it's a loving invitation. There's just something that happens to your soul when you have to lean on Him. There's just something that happens. I kind of sometimes roll my eyes to this method, but I've just known the Lord to do things this way. Like, you will get the greatest breakthrough sometimes in the deepest pain that you're feeling. And it's like, Lord, why do you do that? Can't you just let us have a fun month without, like, you know? And we'll get great breakthroughs through some of the most greatest heartbreak. And I'm like, this is keeping us lowly. This is keeping us lowly so that we don't think that this has anything to do with us. This is the way of the cross. This is the way of Jesus. And when you ask Him to know His sufferings, to know His heart, when you want Him to prune you and refine you, don't ask for something you don't have the capacity to walk in. And that's why these little foxes come, because they want to take the fruit that is about to be produced from the vine. And these things refine us so that when we do produce fruit, it is fruit that lasts and that remains. This is the way of the cross. I love this generation. I try to act like I'm part of this generation, but I know I'm older than that. But man, if we could really love one another. And yeah, we have to call each other higher. I get all that. I really do. But if we can love one another and build one another up instead of tearing one another down, what we could do in this dark world right now, we could just change everything. But the devil loves to come and distract with these little things, again, to take our affection and attention away from who we should be staring at, Jesus. So what do you do, Jess, to overcome that? Keep looking at him no matter what comes your way. No matter if it's a good day. And guess what? Keep looking at him even when you're walking in favor like you never knew you would, because you will be tested more in favor. You will. Everyone clings to Jesus when you're going through a hard time. But how many cling to him when everything is going their way? Few. Few. We forget. We shouldn't. I'm not saying we all do, but often that's just human nature. I used to have friends that every time they would go through something rough, they would show up to church and then things would get better and then I wouldn't see them for like another year. It's like, man, wouldn't it be great if you could come to church every single week, not only come in when you need God to move for you? Because he's too holy for that. He's too loving. The Holy Spirit is too sensitive and amazing just to use like a slot machine when we need him to move on our behalf. He's faithful. I want to hit busyness and exhaustion. Is anyone exhausted in the room? Just me? Okay, no, lots of you are. Life is full. There's so much to carry. There's so many distractions, even with this stupid thing. Social media, all the stuff just to desensitize ourselves, to numb us to real reality. I'm guilty of it too. We all do it. What do? We numb. We almost get into this mode of just being so exhausted that our emotions become frozen. So we can't even really connect with what God is doing because we have become so desensitized to what really is going on. And we're looking at everything else but the Lord, but the things we're supposed to be looking at. And this busies our heart and busies our mind. And I wish I could put it more clearly, but I have seen so many ministers miss it by the busyness of life. Not just sexual sin, not just immoral failure, all these things. And yes, that does happen, unfortunately, but I've seen people miss it just by busying their souls with the things that don't matter. It will get you. It's time to be at rest because, like Michael said this morning, the world's only going to get crazier. I mean, this year is probably going to get crazier and darker. So how are we going to survive in this world where there could be wars and all kinds of stuff going on and division like never before in the body of Christ and just such the path is only getting more narrow. How do we survive that? By clinging to the cross and not losing our focus on the one that we love. That's the only way. There's no other way to make it outside of loving Jesus. I don't know another formula. There is no formula. That's the only way. That's why you could be like Brother Yoon in jail and they didn't take his joy. I sat with that man. He showed me and Ben Fitzgerald while we were eating fried chicken of all things, and Michael and Dave Pop, I think, was in the room, and he was showing us his scars on his legs where he was bound in chains, and he was laughing. Like joyfully laughing, not like a weird person laughing, like joyfully, like the joy of the Lord overtook him and he was showing us his scars from the chains. And I thought only the Lord could do that. They couldn't break this man. He had Jesus. He really did figure out Jesus is everything. It wasn't just a cool, trendy thing to say. For him, it was his life. That was all he had. So we have to be careful not to let the cares, the silly little things of this world, exhaust us so we're taken away from the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I feel just emotionally exhausted, it makes me at times feel like I don't even think I can pray today. I'm just being real. I don't feel like I can read the Bible and even think clear right now. I have so much on my mind. And then I tell myself, no, I know what to do. I'm just going to start worshiping. Because when I worship, it unblocks this heaviness in my heart. And then I can see clear and I can understand. The scripture actually starts to speak to me. This is just real talk, but it's just what you have to do. So you almost have to fight through that temptation just to let the ridiculousness overwhelm you at times that this world can offer us. And go, no, I'm going to be faithful and steadfast right now. Yes. It doesn't change. The formula is always the same. I don't even like calling it a formula. But the path, I should say, is always the same. Don't neglect your time with Jesus. And don't neglect your time reading the Word. Right. Don't shut off your worship for anything. Yes. It's all you have. That's it. There's no point in even living. My dear friend whose dad passed away today, she said he's about to go now. She was just standing around the bed worshiping Jesus right now. I was like, oh, that's all you can do. It's like, I don't even know what to tell you. So I said, I don't even know what to say to you. I just know I'm here. I'm praying. But that's what you do in those moments. What can you do but love on Jesus and cling to him when nothing else seems to be making sense? Amen? We are the worst version of ourselves when we are not at rest and peace. I'll say it another way. When we step outside of our calling and get caught up with the things outside of our assignment, we will lose ourselves. I see it time and time again. Just stay faithful to what your assignment is. That could even be living in a city that you don't like, but God called you to it. Michael would say amen if he was in the room. He's like, who would live in Orlando if you're in Florida? It's like the coast. He's like, I'm a fisherman. Why would you? I'm like, well, this is where God called us, babe. So we're going to live in Orlando. But it's just all that thing. You go, what does that have to do with your assignment? If God has planted you in a place for a season, you have to be obedient and faithful until the Lord speaks to move on from that. There's protection in that. But what do these little foxes do? They chirp, chirp, chirp in your ear. So many opinions. If you ever had that in life where you get so many opinions, and I do believe wisdom is in the counsel of many. Again, but counsel from the right people who have depth in the scripture, may I add. But when you have so many opinions, so many voices, it just causes more confusion in your heart because you're listening to people and not really planting into what God is telling you to do. And then the other things can come in your ear and distract you. So be careful what you give your ear to. It's when we are at rest that our true authority flows. The devil is out to distract us one way or another. It could be through obvious sin, but if he cannot get you there, he will try to make you grow weary and tired. Don't believe me? What about Elijah? That story always gets me. He just slaughtered so many men. And then the spirit of Jezebel threatens him. And what does he do? He runs and hides and says he wants to die. Do you ever think about that for a moment? Like sometimes I just read that. I'm like, what? He just like annihilated an entire like population pretty much. And then that spirit of Jezebel comes and says, I'm going to kill you. And what does he do? He loses trust and faith in the Lord and he's exhausted. And what do they say? Just take a nap. Just rest for a moment. See, what happens when we try to overdo things and get in the way, we weary our physical and emotional bodies down. And then we stop clinging to Jesus. And again, we try to do things in our own ability. Elijah didn't need to run for his life. All he needed to do was take a nap and trust in God that everything was going to be okay. Just like he sent fire and moved, like he had just previously done, God was going to answer Elijah's prayer just like he did there with those prophets of Baal and showed them who he was. But I think sometimes it's easier to believe God to act in front of others but not believe that he will take care of us. Sometimes it's, I don't know why it's that way. I've seen that with even my own parents and many other families. It's like you can have the faith for everyone else, but when it hits close to home, it's your own children or your own family or something's going on in your own life, you don't have the faith for that, but you can have it for everybody else that comes your way. Why is that? Why do we believe that we are not worthy of God protecting and moving in our behalf? Why do we believe that we're not worthy to trust the Lord with all of our hearts? Why we get weary? Like Elijah did, we get distracted. We listen to the voice of the enemy instead of trusting the Lord because of weariness. All Elijah needed was a nap. That's it. And faith in God. He will try to take your gaze off of Jesus and focus it on things that are so little in the grand scheme of things. So many things don't matter that we think matter. So many things are not even going to matter to you in a month. So many things that you're worried about now, you won't even remember next year. But in the moment, they seem so big. Why? Because we're taking our gaze off of the face of Jesus. When you're face to face with the Lord, I don't know about you, but I've had moments in prayer through the years where I'm like, oh my gosh, like there could be a bomb outside my house. And I mean, I don't want that obviously, but I'm like, I don't even know if I would care right now because I am so caught up in the Lord that right now he's all I can think about. I've seen this time and time again when you pray for the sick and when they're in worship caught up, they get healed. When you're worshiping the Lord or you have a healing service, I should say, they'll go, I got healed. When? When I was worshiping and leaning into Jesus. It's like when you forget about everything you're facing, that's when the Lord comes in and goes, now I'm moving. Because it's total dependency on him. But when we keep looking away, that's when we get weak and eventually give in to defeat. Those little foxes, they will always be there. They're not going anywhere. They just change faces. They just change circumstances. But there's always going to be little foxes in our life. And let me say it this way. Sometimes these little foxes can even be things that are good. But if we take the good and put our focus on that and that the good things that God has trusted us with, if we put our gaze on that and don't focus on Jesus, we're making that an idol in our life. Sometimes when we put our ministries above the Lord, our methods or the way of doing things above God, that's making that an idol, and he has to be all in all in our life. I'm just going to speak for like 10 more minutes and then we're going to worship and say goodnight. The road is only getting more narrow. The voices are only getting louder. How are you going to stay focused on Jesus? It's simple. Cling to him and settle in. We've got to settle in. We all know I got to cling to him, but it's one thing to cling, but it's another thing to settle, to rest on him, to cling and not let go. We all cling to him for a moment. We saw so many people tonight came and clung to Jesus for a moment, but we have to live there. Yes. That's our life forever. We have to live there. It can't just be for a moment and then it's gone. It's got to be our life forever. How do the foxes spoil a vineyard? They dig and destroy the roots on the vineyard with no regard to the vulnerability for the vines and the fruit that they will produce. The foxes care about one thing, their selfish needs and selfish desires. That's how foxes always will be. They come, the enemy will come just to take all that you've worked so hard for. All that you've worked so hard for. No care for you or your needs or whatever you've pleaded and contended for. You cannot open up your heart and your life to these little foxes because they will spoil everything it is that you've tried to build. In the Bible, foxes not only symbolize an animal, but they symbolize things such as trickery and destructive behavior. That's what they represent in the Bible. So when we hear, don't let the little foxes come in and spoil the vine, this is what it also means. Don't let those little trickery, that little things come in and spoil what God has done. Protect what he is doing, and he'll trust you with more. Amen? The scriptures say, stop it before they ruin the vineyard of love. That's intimacy with Jesus. That's what they're out to do. They want to destroy your connection with Jesus. That's what distraction does. It destroys the fellowship, the friendship, the oneness, the nearness that we have with the Lord. And if you say, Jess, I don't believe you, well, think about how you feel with Jesus when you let all the distractions of life come in your life. It separates you from intimacy with him. And that's what it means when the Bible says, don't let these little foxes come in. It's going to spoil the vineyard of love. That's how real things are produced. That's how real fruit grows, in love, loving Jesus. Outside of that, you cannot bear any fruit. Knowledge is great, but you're not going to bear fruit just by knowing things. I know people that know a lot of things, but they have no love and compassion in their heart. It's love, it's fellowship with Jesus, that's what bears the deepest fruit in our life, fruit that remains. And I'm going to close with this. I told you I didn't want to preach long, but I felt like this was a word for me, for this house right now. The enemy will always try to derail you right before the harvest. You know how we just read that? It was right before the fruit was about to come forth and blossom. That's what the enemy will always do. Right before you're right around the corner to the biggest breakthrough, the harvest, that's when he will come and try to catapult you off of what God wants to do. Don't let him do it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can like and subscribe to help us continue to reach people around the world with the gospel. Give today at jesusimage.tv/give. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Jesus Image Church. For more information on Jesus Image, events, Jesus School, and resources, visit jesusimage.tv.